Good morning, everybody. Everybody okay? Right, oh, we've got the first thing up there. Right, there's quite a bit to go through, so we're going to go straight into it anyway. Worship might not be what you think it is. So what is it? And what is it not? What worship isn't? First of all, it's not about just about singing songs. Not all about singing songs. We come together on a Sunday morning and we sing and we say, that's worship. But it's not necessarily so. It is actually much more than singing. It's not say, we can't, don't say, well, we've done that, we don't have to do it now until next week. There are other times and other things we can do. It's not just something we just do on a Sunday morning. We must live a life of worship. Now, I'll explain later what that means, but it's got to be part of us. Okay, next one. Worship is not about great music or musicianship. I love music. I was brought up with music. I lived music. It actually runs in my veins. But it's a powerful vehicle to get us to worship God. It's not the music in itself, or the singing, or the is worship. It is the worship which is most important. It's just one way of doing things. It's not about the style, whether we do modern music, hymns, or the format, what songs we sing. It is, at the end of the day, what we do and worship God. It's not about entertainment, because, you know, some of these big churches, you've heard them, particularly in America, these big churches, are very, very entertaining. It's not a place to showcase your talent. We may have great voices, but great musicians and great songs to sing, but it's not really about those things. Unless we lay that talent at the foot of the cross, then it becomes worship distraction instead of leading us into worship. Although powerful music with anointed musicians can give us an atmosphere where we can worship God, and we do that in this church. We do worship God. We get to that point of great worship. We've done some fantastic worship today with Ben and the guys. But music itself is not worship. Jesus is the reason for us to get together to worship. Worship is not a religious ceremony or ritual. I'm sure in some churches people worship because it's what Christians do. They go to church and they worship. They sing, basically. But we don't want worship to be a duty or a routine. It becomes empty religion then, and we don't want that, do we? We just go through the motions. Listen to what it says in Isaiah. It says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they've been taught. Such people worship in vain. That's really tough, isn't it? They worship in vain. Worship is not any less important than the word. Is it a prelude to the word? Is the word most important thing? Some people think the word is much more important than the worship. You just think about that, is it? Our son Mark, some of you remember our youngest, I think, when he used to come here. He used to say to me, particularly if I was leading worship, he would say, the worship's great, Dad, but I can't wait till you're finished. So I can hear to the message. This was about 12 years old. He wanted to listen to the message. He wasn't interested in what I was doing on the piano or with the microphone. The word is extremely important. Because it's scripture, isn't it? It's usually based on scripture. But the word is not the only thing that brings scripture. A lot of songs can bring scripture. A lot of the old hymns can bring scripture. You just ask you. You love these hymns, don't you? So Wendy, she loves it. When we repeatedly sing songs, and sometimes we do actually repeat them too often, the words actually go into our mind and become part of us. We absorb the meanings of the song, so that the content of a song is very, very important. I believe both the word and the worship, both the word and worship are important as each other. Worship is not about us. It's human nature to make everything about us, you know. Some find it hard to get lost in worship because they're a little bit self-conscious. They think, well, are people looking at me while I raise my hands, while I sing loud? Others might be critical about, the singer got the wrong words then. Graham, the music's too loud. Or that song isn't very good. Oh no, Roy's leading worship again. Do you know, I read a member of the congregation in some church, I don't know whether it's true or not, came up to the worship leader and said, "The worship did nothing for me today." So he looked at that person straight in the eye and said, "Well, actually, we weren't worshipping you." I'd like to think that's true, but I don't know. Both word. Sorry, where are we? I've lost it now. Worship's not getting our needs met. It is towards God. Imagine if Jesus is sitting next to you when you're worshipping. That could be quite a tough thing, couldn't it? Am I participating in that worship fully? Am I just doing the actions? Am I just raising my hands up because, well, that's what other people do? But do I really mean it? God actually knows every thought, even before we start to think it ourselves. That means he knows what we are thinking about when we're worshiping. As long as we realize it isn't all about us, it's about him. Okay. So what is worship? It's about giving God respect and adoration. The dictionary definition is to love, respect, and admire someone or something very much. Hebrew word translated as worship is sachar, which literally means the act of bowing down to God. And the Greek word, proskuneo, which means to encounter God and praise him. So we can praise him, we can bow down to him. That is all worship. But worship is much more than lifting our hands and bowing down. As I said before, it's a lifestyle. We'll come to that later. Paul urges us in Romans to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, as an act of spiritual worship. Do you realize that worship is the ultimate purpose that we were created for? That's why we were created, to worship him. Listen to Philippians. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge him that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, having said that it's not all about singing, worship is also about singing songs. I love contradictions. Singing is a powerful way to get closer to God and expressing our love for him. It strengthens our relationship with him. It helps us to grow closer to him. It gives us a way of sharing our love for him with others, bringing us joy and unity as a church. It can bring comfort, it can bring healing, and it helps us to focus on God's promises. The songs we sing, as you said before, should be full of scriptural content, and that's really important. It is the word and prayers accompanied to music. The Bible actually encourages us to sing, to glorify God and deepen our spiritual journey, because Paul wrote, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and with thankfulness to your hearts to God. Ephesians, he said, be filled with spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So we're told to sing. Worship. This is pretty obvious, mind. Worship should be focused on God. He is the only appropriate object of our worship. To worship anything else is idolatry. So what does God focused mean? All our praise and worship should be directed to him. There are some worship songs which focus on us. We've had some in the past. I think we may still have some. There is a place for those things. For bless me songs. But you've got to question yourself, is that real worship? The main aim of worship is to honour God and glorify him, lifting up his name. Fulfilling our own personal experience is actually a byproduct of God-centered worship. Listen to this in John. A time is coming when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and truth. What does that mean? In spirit and in truth. It means worship is not confined to external rituals or physical locations like a temple or even a church in this building. It's not confined to this building. It comes from the heart and is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're getting the message. Worship that is genuine rather than a formal or mechanical worship. It says in the Psalms too, true worshippers behold the beauty of the Lord. They find the fullness of joy and they are as the deer pants for the water. God must be the center and all else must revolve around that. Worship is a command. Throughout the Bible, we're actually commanded to worship. It's what God tells us to do. It's an invitation to glorify the one who deserves that worship, Jesus. He is the only one, and we are called to give him thanks and praise. It's an act designed not only to bring him honor, but to him who deserves it, but also to bring to a peace. Sorry, it's not again. But also to bring a spirit of obedience and submission to the worshippers. Psalm 95. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is a spiritual service of worship. Throughout the Bible, we are commanded to worship him. It should come from a true relationship with Jesus. Worshipping Jesus is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It invites the believers into a deep personal relationship with him as their Savior. It should flow out of our love for him and him alone. Jesus gave examples of worship in his teaching, and by observing what he did, praying each day, that's worship. I don't mean just going through a list of items that you want him to tick off. I'm about real worshiping Jesus in your prayer. Spend time with him. Talk to him. Wait for his response. Sometimes you don't actually need to say anything. Meditate on scripture, that's worship. Read it, write it down, put it on a piece of card, put it in your pocket, refer to it every day. Jesus knew the scriptures inside out. And the only way to follow his example is to read the Bible every day. Soak yourself with the Word of God. Realize that Jesus is in you and with you. He is with you every moment of the day. When you truly realize that, you can't do anything but praise him and to worship him. Serving other people, that's a spiritual act of worship. In the church, outside the church, I think we're really good, this church, in doing that. Focus your heart on him. It's about desiring him to receive your praise. Okay. Just who are we worshiping? Right. We've talked about what we believe worship isn't, and we've said what we believe it is, but do we really know who we're worshiping? We've mentioned God the Father, we've mentioned Jesus, our Saviour, we mentioned the Holy Spirit, but who really is this triune God that we're worshiping? We're worshiping the ultimate creator. All the way from Genesis, we can see he's creative. He created everything in the universe. All three persons of the Trinity were there in the creation of everything. Nothing would exist if it wasn't for him. He created each one of us. He did it just by speaking us into existence. He is the ultimate creator. We worship someone who is omniscient. He knows absolutely everything. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing that he doesn't know. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows exactly what you're doing every given moment. He knows what you're thinking even before you've thought it yourself. He even knows what you're going to do tomorrow, next week, next year. You cannot hide anything from him. He is all-knowing. We worship in someone who is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is never absent. He can see everything, what is happening in the world, good or bad. He's there with you when you were born. In fact, he was there when you were conceived. He's there celebrating with you when things go well, and is with you definitely when things go badly. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you're going through, God is there with you. He is in all places. We worship someone who is omnipotent. He has limitless power. Totally different, isn't it? He can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. He has complete control over everything. His word is never void of power. When he speaks, everything in creation obeys him. Of course, mankind does disobey him. That's what we call sin. God has control, though, even over sinful actions. He can use sin and a disobedience for his own good purposes. Listen to what it says in Romans. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. That is all things. We worship someone who loves us more than we could possibly comprehend. His love is unconditional. God loves you because of who he is, not because of who you are. It means that no matter what you've done, his love remains for us. This truth fills us with hope. It tells us we're worthy simply because God chose to love us. It encourages us to love ourselves and to love others better. Our salvation is entirely the work of God's power, not at all our own work. You know this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. His love is unstoppable. No matter what circumstances you find yourself in, you will never be separated from the love of God. In Romans, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither the angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation can be separated from the love of God as in Christ Jesus. His love is unfathomable. That's a difficult word to say. Unfathomable. God's love for you is so vast, it is more than our mind can ever actually dream or imagine. So, why does God want or need our worship? I was challenged by Mary Bolt, actually, the other day. She said to me, okay, I told her what I was going to speak about. And she said, okay, is worship for us or is it for God? And it stumped me a little bit. I thought, well, I'll have to think about that one. Is it for us or for God? Well, God doesn't need our worship. He doesn't actually need it. He doesn't need anything from us to bolster his self-esteem. He is totally self-sufficient and is in need of nothing. He is not served by human hands. This is an act. He is not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So why does he want us to worship him? That's what we're made for. It's in our DNA. We are worshippers by design. We're created beings of worship. It shifts our focus from everything else and from ourselves towards him. It aligns our lives with his will. He desires our worship. Although he doesn't need our worship, he actually desires it. The first commandment in Exodus says, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment, you shall not make any image of anything and bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God. So what does he mean by jealous? Well, it means he deeply desires our worship. Worship actually builds up the church. Martin Luther said, to gather with God's people in united adoration of the future is as necessary to the Christian life as prayer is. We encourage one another, remind each other of the promises and faithfulness of God. True worship focuses on God while uplifting and strengthening his people. The truth is, we need to worship him. God knows if we don't worship him, we will actually worship something else. We'll always find something else to worship. There's a lot of things in this world which are vying for our attention and our love. What should we do about it? I know I'm repeating myself, but we meditate on his word regularly. We start and end the day with prayer. expressing our feelings to our God. Set aside regular personal worship with him. We will discover more about who he is, and it keeps us at the center of our life. Keep him at the center of our lives. It keeps us humble, and we rely on God's grace and provision. Real worship costs us. That's the way it should be. What do I mean by that? David got it. Worship isn't cheap. Israelites made the long pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They got it too, and their worship should not be cheap either. God wants our time, our attention, and he wants us to put him first in everything. Real worship is actually a sacrifice. Surrendering ourselves to God. Just as our salvation wasn't cheap either. We were bought with a priceless commodity, precious blood of Jesus. We are having this meeting on Wednesday. We've talked about unhurried worship. We'll be doing some singing, but most of all, we're just going to come and worship him, just going to need the presence of God on Wednesday. It's going to be a quiet time of worshiping the one that deserves all our worship. We're going to hear his voice. Hopefully, we're going to hear his voice, to know his thoughts, to sit at his table. We're going to worship the God who created all things, who is in all things, is all-powerful, all-knowing, three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit, to worship the God which is unchangeable, who was and is to come, to worship the God who is personal, but is also awesome, incomprehensible, and is a mystery, to worship the God that is eternal, holy, and supreme sovereign, to worship the God who's overflowing with goodness, kindness, and love. To worship the God who is wise and just, merciful and compassionate. To worship the God that is faithful and full of grace and forgiveness. To worship the God that heals, the one that is our sole provider. To worship the God who guides us and strengthens us. To worship the God who leads us beside still waters. To worship the God who is glorious, wonderful, and infinitely beautiful. To worship the God that is perfect in every way. Praise his name. The God who gives us more than we ever desire, who saved us from eternal condemnation, instead gave us eternal life. Amen.